Our scripture reading for this morning is the culmination of John's vision. As you listen to it, I invite you to listen and envision it alongside John. Resist the urge to decode it. Simply let yourself experience it. Then behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the dwelling place of God is among mortals. He shall dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them. He shall wipe every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the old order of things has passed away."
Once again, you are invited to experience and envision the scripture as it is read from Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is a tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever.
As we begin our final reading, we still want you to be listening with your mind's eye, to simply let the imagery do what it does within you and among us.
Returning to Revelation 21, we hear these words. The one who was seated on the throne said,
"Behold, I'm making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." And then he said to me, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the one who is thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who overcome, who conquer, shall inherit these things, and I shall be their God, and they shall be my children. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, the murderers, the fornicators, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their place shall be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death."
Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And in the spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It has the glory of God and a radiance like a very rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. And it has a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the 12 gates, 12 angels. And on the gates are inscribed the names of the 12 tribes of the Israelites. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city has 12 foundations, and on them are the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb.
I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations shall walk by its light. The kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there shall be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. Nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life.
It happens to me even before I get to the driveway. Each and every time I return, somewhere on Dugwell Road, a good 3 miles from our family farm, Cahay's Knob explodes onto the scene, and I am home. Ever since I was a little girl, it has felt like my mountain. When I looked out my bedroom window, that was my view, this mountain, often purple, my favorite color, on the horizon. It grounded my childhood. If I looked out and down the hill, I saw our farm sweeping along the creek, black and white cows dotting the pasture in between us. And if I looked out and up, Cahay's Knob was there, ever in the background. I can remember my grandmother telling me about the picnics she had at its peak when she was a little girl. Sunday afternoons spent climbing and playing there. It was a picture, a place, a home we shared, she and I. Home. Home is this image, a mountain, a feeling, steady, faithful, a place. All those things all at the same time and even across time. Throughout our entire series on Revelation, we have had this image in front of us, the river flowing from the throne of God, the tree of life. We have pointed it out to you most weeks in order to remind you that this is where we are heading. This is where Revelation ends. It ends with an image of life, an image of a garden. We know this garden. We remember it from pages and pages ago in the book of Genesis. The Bible, the story of God, begins and ends in the garden. The story is one of return and redemption, one of transformation. In Genesis, humanity is exiled from the tree of life, sent away from the home they were created for. But in John's vision, the garden returns, and humanity returns to it. And there is healing. Healing for the nations, healing among the nations, all nations and all peoples. Revelation testifies to the reality that God longs for us to be, as Michael Gorman put it, God longs for us to be a people living in harmony with God and with one another, and with the entire creation. Knowing this ending should not create apathy about our present. Hoping for this kind of peace, longing for this kind of harmony, longing for this life, compels us to be communities that practice the things that are present in this vision, to practice peace, justice, reconciliation, evangelism, earth care, to practice gratitude for the garden and all of its abundance, to practice living as those who have been transformed. Because we know that we will not feel truly at home in a world where those things are not present. My mountain, Cahay's Knob, was still there, even after my brother died, because of course it was a mountain. But every other sense of my home was lost. The steadiness, the faithfulness, even the place, the house was incomplete because there was an empty room. The people surrounding me were lost. My parents, my sister, our family had become unmoored. We didn't know how to be together. We struggled. It was hard to breathe, hard to get up in the morning We broke from one another. We lost our sense of home together. And it was hard to return. But over and over again, we did somehow. We kept coming back to one another for years, returning to the house, returning to my room with a view of my mountain, slowly, steadily. Home began to grow again among us. It is not the same. It will never be the same. And yet it grows. Beauty, faithfulness, peace, hope, love, the sense of home that holds our family continues to grow, grounding us, keeping us together, even expanding as new people join. We come in and out of that sense of home together. But the door remains open. Always. We can always return. The truth of transformation, of redemption, of forgiveness, the truth of the new heaven and the new earth, the truth of these things is that they do not come without struggle. John's vision would lack depth without the struggle that occurs in the chapters between the throne room that we read about last week and the vision we see portrayed here. There is real injustice in the world, real evil, real tragedy, real sin, real separation from one another. And those things cause real hurt in our lives. We struggle. And Revelation testifies to a God who, in the Lamb of Christ, struggles right alongside us and on behalf of us and who overcomes. But this struggle changes us. Revelation presents a picture of return. Return to the garden, return to paradise, but it takes the entirety of the biblical witness to get back there. And humanity has changed in the process. We are not the same, but the garden is not the same either. This is an urban garden, one that is situated within the New Jerusalem. Rather than having a gate that is guarded like the gate into Eden, the gate into this city is always open. It is not shut by day, and there is no night. There is welcome here. The gate is always open to us, and we may need to return to it again and again and again, because friends, we are still in the midst of the struggle, still changing, still being redeemed, still being transformed, even as we are changed, redeemed, and transformed, all at the same time and even across time. It's striking to me that we are not the only ones who have changed as we return to Eden. The garden is different, and perhaps even God is different. When my grandmother died earlier this year, she left me a painting of Cahay's Knob, of my mountain, our shared sense of home. It's framed in wood from the farm where she grew up, and every day I get to look at its beauty, the purples and pinks blending with blues and greens. My image of home has come to me. It has traveled to this new place where I live my life, My grandmother would really like that image, I think. Home. Our sense of home, our feeling of home, coming to dwell with us in our lives, wherever we are, like a faithful companion. Hanging in our kitchen is a cross stitch. It says, "Where you are, that is home." Home is personal. It is with people. It is a feeling, an image, all at the same time, and even across time. Home is here. See, the home of God is among humanity. God will dwell with them. They will be God's people. God will be with them. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. This is a home that has, as Michael Gorman again writes, this is a home that has removed all that prevents human flourishing in community before God, and that contains the presence of all that permits and promotes that flourishing. The image of the New Jerusalem is one in which people have all they need: light and water and fruit from the tree. Life flourishes here. The home of God is among us. The God who is and was and is to come is and was and will be with us. God dwells with us. God's reality is with us. God is our home and we are God's. It is personal and communal, a feeling and a place all at the same time. The home of God is humanity with people. The home of God is with us. Home is here.